Thou art exalted high above, all God, for thou, O Lord, so very high above. Yeah, it's getting stronger. I feel it also strong on my hand. It's increasing and getting stronger. Yeah, it's getting stronger on you. I just saw God's hand come upon you. It's getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Yeah, it's begun. Yeah, it's begun. It's begun. Don't wait till the end of the service, but know that the hand of the Lord is strong even now. I know that the times of refreshing begin even now. They begin even now. They begin even now. They begin even now. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just take it in. Take a deep breath. It's getting stronger. Stronger, my hand. Legged osta, brando, sofa, lista, bahata. Legos the Baline Meletish that touch in the name of Jesus. Le broco poro boso, it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Thank you for your presence in this place tonight. Thank you. Thank you for the times of refreshing that you promised in your word. Thank you because we receive it. We receive it by faith. We take it. It's ours even now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The 4 days will be life-changing. Be life-changing. Father, we give you praise. We thank you tonight. Thank you for an awesome time. Starting tonight, will never be the same. Thank you because even now I yield myself. I speak as your mouthpiece. I minister of the power that you supply in the name of Jesus. Thank you because as I teach, your power is present to heal, save, deliver in the name of Jesus. We remain conscious of your tangible presence. The Holy Ghost falls upon all under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep playing softly, please. Keep playing softly all through. Just softly, quietly. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 17. Let's welcome you. I welcome you again also this evening to the first night of halftime renewal. And we're saying that we've started the year. It's like a match. And we are at halftime. Let somebody say halftime. So it's time to sit back and recalibrate. Amen. It's time to stand back and say, look, how's the year going? And it's time to pause. Lagos is a bit too fast. Lagos is a bit too fast. So it's time to pause a little bit. You need to take breaks. Amen. Luke 5 says that Jesus was teaching and there were miracles. And a lot of people came and kept coming. And so the Bible says he often withdrew himself just to pray. He often withdrew himself just to spend time with God. So the busier he got, the more the need to find time to withdraw from the hustle and bustle, as we call it. If you wish, you can call it the rat race. Amen. So you will often pull back and say, hey, it's time for me to just sit back, relax, talk to God about things, and let God also speak to me about things. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So Psalm 17, have you found that? Psalm 17, are you there? I said, are you there? Okay, Psalm 17, verse 15, which is the very last verse, is my text. I felt right from the get-go, you know, that this is what God wanted me to speak about. And Psalm 17, verse 15 says, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. And then there's a semicolon, which means that there's a linkage. It says, I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Is there a chance? There's another mic I prefer usually. I don't know why I'm struggling with this one. And never mind that I'm spoiling your recording, but I will if I don't get what I want. It says, I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. No, it's not this one. It's the one with the green, little green line around it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't worry, sounds have some things to do with it. So, amen. Okay, ignore them. Okay? I believe God wants me to speak to you tonight about your end game. Your end game. What's your end game? So it's a question. What is your end game? Can somebody say end game? The end game is the final stage in a process. The end game is like where something ends up. Okay, where, how is it going to end? The end game is like your plan for the end. You know, and God is asking me to ask you, what is your end game? You know, as of, you know, if you, when was that? 2 months ago, now 100 days plus, a war started in Europe, you know, and Russia invaded Ukraine. And as they invaded Ukraine, people began to discuss, what's the end game? You know, what's the end game? What does the Russian president want to do? What does he want to achieve at the end? Some people said he wants to topple the government in Ukraine. Some people say, no, he doesn't want to topple it. In fact, after a while, he also spoke. And he says, no, he wants to liberate, you know, a certain region of that place from what he called Nazis. And Nazis are old-time World War II German crazy people. And people thought, what is he talking about? Who are the Nazis? Yeah. Okay. Don't worry. Just leave it now if you can. Okay. Don't mind me. This is my favorite mic.
Hallelujah. Aha. Hallelujah. Does it sound different to you? Huh? It sounds different. Uh-huh. This is my favorite mic. Amen. With this one, the anointing will come on me. Hallelujah. So, the people start asking, what's the end game? What does he really want to achieve? So, he started attacking the capital of that place, and everybody was concerned, will he topple the government? And it became like a live show that we couldn't believe. After a while, it looked like it was too tough to fight in the capital. They began to withdraw, and everybody says, it looks like he's about to end the war. And he said, no, that's not his end game. He's going to concentrate somewhere else, and the war goes on. As of 2 weeks ago, they were playing the final matches of the English Premier League for football lovers. And unbelievably, nobody knew who would carry the cup until the very last day. And perhaps until the very last minutes, nobody had a clue what was going to happen. Everybody was asking the question, what is the what? End game. Are you there? I was watching Manchester City. Apologies to most of the women. I know they were not interested. They were not watching. They don't care. They don't even know who Man City is. When they say Man City, they say man where? Huh? So I was watching Man City. I've forgotten who they even played with. So irrelevant. But I was watching Man City. And unbelievably, they had gotten to the second half. If they lost that match, Liverpool was likely to win the cup. No. Forget Liverpool. God. Anyway, so I was watching that match. And second half, one goal had gone in. Everybody had started to say, oh my God, it looks like these guys are going to lose in the dying minutes. They will lose this cup. And second goal came in. Then I decided it was time to start doing other things. That it looks like, you know, maybe God wasn't in this one. So I went downstairs. I was watching on my phone. I went downstairs and I started to do some things in the kitchen. And then I had the phone outside on the dining table. I went in the kitchen. I came back out. I looked at it. I saw 2-1. I said, just like that, what happened? I said, well, but they are still down. Then I went back in the kitchen. I did something for a few minutes. I came back, I saw 2-2. I said, then I carried the phone. I looked at it very well. Am I watching the same match? Is it live? Or maybe my phone is showing me something else. I said, it's the same match. This is happening, 2-2. Then I went back in the kitchen. I did something a few minutes. I came back, it was 3-2. I said, unbelievably, I missed all the 3 goals. I didn't see them. You know, because I had kind of given up. Because everybody was questioning, what is the end game? What's going to happen at the final stages? Listen, the question for you is that what's your end game as a believer? Are you there? For some people, they just needed a ticket. They just needed to kind of secure a ticket. You know, again, we're even asking end game recently, isn't it? When all kinds of people, 23 people, went to buy a form for 100 million naira each. That's 2.3 billion. So people said, what in the world is going on? Is 100 million that small? I mean, why would 23 people buy from the same party, buy the same form, 100 million naira each, and they said, what is the end game? There's something going on we don't understand. What is happening? So by the end of yesterday, I said, I think I know some people's end games. I think I know some people's end game. It was smart investment. Because they were bought to step down. We started hearing that some people were paid to step down. So if you bought your phone for 100 million and I offer Pastor NY 500 million, will you step down? But you know that you will lose anyway. It's too small. but you will still lose the election. Eh? I won't put more because you know you will lose. So some people still went on and refused, have we? And then they lost. So the 100 million, whew. But some people quickly calculated and said, 100 million I spent 4 weeks ago. I have 200 offer, 500 offer. There's no bank in the world, have we? No investment in the world, in fact, that is going to multiply my 100 to become 500 or 300 in 4 weeks. So they quickly cashed out. That was their end game for some of them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of them actually had that in mind from the get-go, that they are going to ask me. Somebody will ask me and say, step down for me. I say, what of the money I spent now? He said, don't worry, I'll double it. Eh? Then I say, okay, after you double it in culture, if you get in, what will you do? Say, I'll give you ministers. Okay, correct. Eh? That was for some. I'm just saying, I wasn't there. That was an end game. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For believers, what's your end game? Why are you a Christian? You know, why are you doing the things you are doing? I was listening to my pastor preaching, and he was sharing about a couple that were Muslims. They got saved. They got born again. They had been married a while. They didn't have a kid. They got born again, started going to church, and got a miracle. God gave them a child. He said, and after a while, you know, the child, you know, a few months, and then they stopped seeing them in church. And they thought, what happened to these people? And then they went looking for them. And when they found them, they asked them, why, what happened? We're not seeing each other. They said, we've gotten what we came for. Are you there? That's their end game. Their end game is, I want to get a child. They say that in church there are miracles. Let's go get the miracles, isn't it? Some people are going to church because they say, church has money. Some people are going to church because they were told that church has connections. That if you go to church, you will meet businessmen. You make good connections and your business will thrive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some say, look, many of these MDs you are seeing, they go to church. If you go to that church, they will give you a job. That's an end game. There's an end game in many of our minds. We have why we are seeking God. And I'm asking you to search deep within. Why? What are you after? That's what the psalmist was talking about in Psalm 17. Are you still there? The psalmist in Psalm 17, and I read again, verse 15, says, as for me. Let somebody say, as for me. He said, I will see your face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied only when I awake in your likeness. What's he saying? He's saying, look, as for me, I'm seeing your face, I'm seeking you. The only thing that will satisfy me is when I become like you. He was saying, my end game, my own end game as a person. That's what David was saying. He's saying, God, my end game is that I'll keep looking for you and looking for you and seeking your face. And my end game is that I will not be satisfied until I become like you. That's the ultimate end game for you as a believer on this side. Now, I'm not even worried about what happens to you after you die. Because if that becomes your end game here, forget about the year after. Forget about life after death. It's a secured matter. If your end game here is that, God, I want to be like you. I don't just want to be a Christian. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not just that, I'm a Christian. I've given my life to Christ. Now I'm born again. Now I won't go to hell anymore. That's what they told us. And I'm just fine and happy. And so some people from that time on don't even go to church. Some people don't even pray. Some people don't read their Bibles. They don't do anything anymore. All they are saying is, now at least I pray the sinner's prayer, I know that I'm going to heaven. Their end game is, I just want to know that I'm going to heaven. But what happens here? Are you hearing me? I said, are you hearing me? What happens here? What are you after? The end game for every one of us should be like David. Is that we want to be like him. You know, they were asking Jesus. Jesus was a prototype. Okay? A prototype is that when you want to manufacture, okay, and you're thinking, let's manufacture bottles. want to make bottles. And you set up a factory to make bottles. What you do is not produce bottles at once. What you do is that you go and make one bottle as a prototype. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You make one bottle. You make sure that the cover, it covers well. I put it on the table. It stands well. The shape, if I hold it, it holds well in your hand. Then when everything is right about that one bottle, you say, now we'll make a mold. That mold that we have, that we use for one bottle now, is perfect. If it's not perfect, we'll go and adjust our mold. Are you getting what I'm saying? If we put it and the bottle was doing like this and was falling, then we'll go and adjust our mold. We'll say that bottle is not good enough yet. Until we can make one bottle, and that one bottle is everything we had in mind, then we start producing bottles with that mold. Are you hearing me? That's why the Bible called Jesus the firstborn of many brethren. He was a prototype. He was a sample of what a new creation should be like. He was here on earth in order to show us what a person who is filled with God should be like. What a person who is supposedly a child of God should be like. And at one point in time, they went and they asked him, they said, look, Master, show us the Father. That's what the disciples asked him. They said, show us the Father. And then he said to them, have I been with you? And you are still asking me to show you the Father? I have been with you all this while. You should have seen him in me. Are you hearing? Listen, everything that he did is what we should do. Go to 1 John chapter 2. So I said all of that to say this to you, but everything he was and everything he did is what you and I ought to be and what you and I ought to do. Jesus was actually speaking at some point and he said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And in another place he said, as he is, so are we in this world. Are you with me? 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let somebody say the end game. Please ask your neighbor, say, what is your end game? You have to have something you are pursuing. You have to have a goal. You have to know and be, you have to have something. You know, the Bible called our walk now a race. Okay? He said, run the race that is set before you. All right? Run the race that is set before you. So we're in a race. When you are running a race, there has to be an end goal. There has to be an end point. How many people have run a marathon here before? Only two people. Three people. Okay. And when you are running the marathon, what's going on? You are looking for that end point. I mean, you really want that end point. Now, can you imagine if I decided we're going to do a Surpassing Grace marathon? No, that was in olden days. He can't run anymore. It's the olden days, you know, that's before. Maybe BC, you know. you know how they do dates. They say 19 BC, that's 19 before Christ. Yeah? And then they say AD, after death. Yeah, so long, long, long time ago, it was when Mr. Zadir used to run like that. Yeah? No. We won't have medical team. Okay? But imagine that we want to do a marathon. And I said to you, we're going to run marathon and you all come in your nice, fancy sportswear. And I said, now we're going to run. Start running. The question you ask me is where? Abi? I say it's a marathon, just keep running. Huh? Say where? I say keep running. It's a marathon, keep running. It's far, it's far. You say even if it's far, where? Abi? Because you will have a problem running that race if you can't tell where you are going. Listen, many believers have a problem running their races because they can't tell where they're going. They have no end point in mind. They have no end game. So there is nothing that drives them. If you've ever been seeing people running long races before, they are running. In fact, not even a marathon, but if you run, you know, some of those longer races, 1,500 meters or whatever, you watch those races, and the person is running, and he's getting tired. It looks like this person is tired. When is the final lap and he's looking at that end point, something happens. It's like new energy just begins to flow. Why? What's the inspiration? What is driving them is that they can see an end point. Your walk with Christ will lack the energy it should have. It will lack the zeal it should have if you don't have an end goal or an end game in mind. Are you still there? You must be seeing something. And I'm saying to us that commonly all of us should be looking the way David was looking, and he was saying, the only time I will be satisfied is when I awake in your likeness. Actually, Smith Wigglesworth was a great father of faith, gone by, used to pray, and he would say, Lord, I pray that I may be satisfied with a dissatisfaction that can never be satisfied. I pray that I may be satisfied with a dissatisfaction that can never be satisfied. That is, that may I get to the place where may I never get to where I feel that I have all of God that I need. Are you with me? May I never get to where I think I know God enough? Or, you know, somebody was saying when we were in university, he said, look, if I don't read the Bible again, the one that I've read is enough to carry me for the rest of my life. Huh? You know, that's the one they say, Ronla. That's a big lie. You know, when you say, yeah, get it, call ledger. Eh? I could call ledger. Eh? I'm saying I could call because that. I could call means hen. It says hen has blood. You say blood. I could call ledger. The testimony you are giving, we will see, like you said, we have to taste. Eh? So they say, I could call ledger. I could tell ledger, you run la. Abi? So when somebody says, I've read so much Bible that if I don't read it again, I have enough to carry me the rest of my life. Irola. Big lie. You'll never get to where you have enough. You'll have, if you succeed as a believer, you'll have to have that hunger inside of you that keeps propelling you every day of your life, and you keep chasing and chasing and chasing after God. There is always more of God to know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Always more of God to know. I said you should open to 1 John chapter 2, and time is running. 1 John chapter 2, are you there? The Bible says, he who says he abides in him, or abides in Christ, that is, ought also himself to walk just as he walked. He who says he abides in him ought also to walk the way that he walked. So if you claim that you are in Christ, he's saying the way that Jesus lived on earth is the way we should live. That sounds like what the psalmist was saying. But the way he behaved, the way he loved, the way he healed, the way he delivered people, he said just that same way, the same way he was calm in the storm, that is the same lifestyle that you and I ought to have if we claim that we're in Christ. That's some high standard. Are you with me? The ERV version, easy to read, says if we say we live in God, we must live the way Jesus lived. If we say we live in God, we must live the way Jesus lived. The Amplified says whoever says he abides in him ought, as a personal debt. I like that, as a personal debt. It means that this is something you have to sort out yourself. You create this inside of you. Ought as a personal debt to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself. Paul was speaking in Galatians chapter 4. He was praying for the Galatians. And he said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until, that's an end game, until Christ is formed in you. Meaning, I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop interceding for you and all of that. And what I want to see is that Christ is formed inside of you. Are you there? I said, are you there? Listen, it means that every single believer, online, on-site, whatever you want to call it, every single one of us should be like a mini Jesus. That's what he's talking about. It means that every single one of us, stepping in our office, stepping in our class, stepping in our neighborhood, ought to be seen the way Jesus was seen when he was on the surface of the earth. People's encounter with us ought to be just the same. And I'm not just talking about the miraculous. I'm talking about everything. They ought to say, when Jesus would speak, they say, we never heard a man speak like this. They actually sent soldiers to arrest him. And those ones got there and they heard him speaking. They heard him teaching. And they came back, they didn't touch him. So he said, where is the person we sent you to arrest? They said, never in our life have we heard a man speak like this. They were just carried away, blown away by the speech. Would people in your office say, never have I heard anybody speak like this? Like the Bible says that let your words edify, let them build. So would people say, oh, whenever this person is around, I so love it because the words that come out of her, they build me up, they encourage me, they lift me up, and there's so much wisdom. Are you there? I said, are you there? Just to ensure you are still here, you have to answer. Hallelujah. So what am I talking about? The fact that that end game needs to drive a hunger within you. Without that personal hunger, that's why our theme is called the God appetite. Without that hunger, I always say to people, if you lose that hunger for God, do everything you can to find it. Because that's the secret of your walk with him. Do everything you need to do. Take a leave and tell them, I need a sick leave because you are sick. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's the truth. If I ever feel at any point in time like I'm not sure about that fellowship and how my fellowship with God ought to be, I'm sick. And I need the time to get that restoration. I need the time to sit with him and ensure that I am sure that I'm sure that I'm... Of course, the scriptures declare to us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. But you know the times when you just can't find yourself, you can't feel yourself, it's the time to stop and say, I need to sort myself out. I'm not who I ought to be. I'm not where I ought to be. I need to fix this because it's important. We have a tendency to just keep running. Somebody coined a phrase and they called it running on empty. Running on empty. You just keep going. You just keep going. You just keep going. You just keep going. Hey, this is... He said, I will look up to the hills from whence my strength comes from whence my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. So if you know your source, then you will not dare go on. When you tend to feel or sense that you are not where you ought to be with God. Hallelujah. Years ago, there was a book written out of a revival called The God Chasers. The God Chasers. How many people ever read that book or saw or heard about the book? Don't worry, I'm mentioning some book, only one hand. I'm trying to create a hunger. You know, last Thursday I was teaching, I was mentioning some books. I was trying to create a hunger. I'm trying to create a hunger because you should pursue, you should read, you should listen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A book called The God Chasers by Tommy Tenney. I was a bestseller. Why? Because we wanted revival. So it was selling like wildfire. We want to chase God. I'm saying to you tonight, you ought to be a God chaser. You ought to be a God chaser. And you do that for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. I read another book. It was a title that caught me. But that's more for ministers. And it says, brethren, we are not professionals. When I saw that title, I jumped at it. It says, we are not professionals. Meaning there's a way there's a way that I can get to, you know, just go through the motions. I know how to preach. I know how to put together a nice sermon or sermonette if you wish. You do your introduction, you put in the three steps, then you go to your conclusion. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you can just do it professionally. But the book said exactly what I wanted to hear, which is that we are not professionals. This is not about professionalism. This is about dependence on God. That at all times, there's no time, may I never get to the place or the time when I feel that I know how to do it. They were asking Catherine Coleman, you know, what's your toughest moments? What are your toughest moments? Catherine Coleman was a lady who lived years ago, died years ago, great healing ministry, fantastic, in fact, awesome healing unction, hardly ever seen after that. And she was actually somebody who got imparted by Maria Woodward Etta. Was imparted by Amy Semple McPherson. Maria imparted Amy Semple. Amy Semple imparted Catherine Coleman. Amy Semple McPherson was the founder of the Four Square Church. And Amy Semple incidentally used to say that this race is a marathon and not a sprint. Are you hearing me? She'll say this race is a marathon. That's what she used to teach in a Bible school. Life Bible school. I think they still call it that. Life seminary. Say this race is a marathon and not a sprint. What was she trying to tell them? That you need to be there for the long run. You need to prepare for a long run. You need to prepare for a long game. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, when they play matches, just like I was describing at the beginning of it, a good coach prepares for a long game. Okay? The coach will sit down with his team. He has a plan. Let's score as many goals quickly. If you can score 3 goals in the first half and then you will defend very well, then we only wait for the fast breaks if they show up and then we have the game. So the first half, give them as many goals as possible. Second half, we go back and defend. But a good coach prepares that just in case these people surprise us. And the game goes first half, second half, third words. What do you call that one? Extra time. And it's still goalless draw. Huh? Because by the time you're getting to extra time, your players, if they are not prepared, they are tired. You understand what I'm saying? You prepare to play for 90 minutes, now it's becoming 120. Is it 120 or 130 minutes? 125. 120 minutes. There is a huge difference in playing for 90 minutes and playing for 120 minutes. Even the people watching are tired. You understand what I'm saying? Not to talk of the man who's running up and down, up and down, up and down. So, but a good coach prepares for the long run and says, look, we want to win very quickly and surely within 90 minutes. However, just in case, he even prepares for penalty shootout. You prepare. If this game goes into penalty shootout, this you are going to play the first, you play the second, you play the third, you play the fourth. He prepares for it all. Now, what am I trying to say to you? When it's a marathon and not a sprint, there is a different strategy. It's a different strategy. You know, all these short runs of you do a quick fasting for 3 days, quick fasting for 21 days, and then you expect that's enough to carry you the rest of your life, won't work. Are you hearing me? You'll have to build a consistent lifestyle of chasing after God and seeking after God. You'll have to sit back and find out how you can do it on a regular, consistent basis. How am I going to live every single day? What am I going to do every single day in my pursuit of God? That's the question you'll have to ask yourself. That's going to be more effective than what you will do in 4 days. What these 4 days are going to do by the grace of God is that it will set you up for a consistent walk with God. Are you there? It will set you up what? For a consistent walk with God. Proverbs chapter 2. I need to move on very quickly and try to wrap up. Are you getting anything? Proverbs, the second chapter. You know, my thought is that you get as much of God as you want. It's the same God, though. Same God. And I like the scriptures. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, talks about the fact that God is no respecter of persons. He shows himself to whoever, even irrespective of geographical location. He will answer a Nigerian as much as he will answer an American. Don't mind them that they say it's God's own country. Are you hearing me? This is probably more God's own country than that one. Given all the disasters we go through, man-made. And yet we are still here. This is probably where God lives. Otherwise, this country should not exist anymore. Are you with me? What was I saying? Huh? Yes, you get as much of God as you desire. So it's the same God available to everybody. But what makes the difference in your experience of God is that pursuit, that desire, that hunger. What do you want? What's your own end game in your walk with God? So Proverbs chapter 2. It says, my son, verse 1, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment. Look at those words. If you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. Then, can I hear you say then? So then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What I want you to see very quickly there is that it's that pursuit that ensures the den. Without that pursuit, without that heart's cry, you don't find the God. You don't find the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. James chapter 4. James, the fourth chapter. Oh, you are glorious and worthy to be praised. You are the Lamb of the Spirit upon the throne. Put a finger there and go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And I'm praying that starting tonight, God will create a hunger in your soul. Something that will drive you. Years ago when we battled, and I think that's, I went with Mr. Sajere, and he was standing at the back. You know, I was ministering. He was somewhere at the back. I didn't even pray with him or anything. But there was a hunger. A hunger was birthed within him. It was just supernatural. Ministered to other people, but I still remember, the next day or 2 days or how many days later, his wife called me and said, what did you do to my husband? I said, what's the problem? Say, he doesn't sleep. He's praying, always praying, and praying, and praying, and praying. Since you came back from Ibadan, he just keeps praying, and praying, and praying, and praying. What did you do to him? I said, it's God that did it. And you need to join him. Hallelujah. But I'm sure he can say that his life changed. And what did it? The hunger. What was the driver? That hunger, that pursuit of God. Are you there? So Psalm 119 verse 2, it says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him. How? With the whole of their hearts. Those who seek him with what? The whole of their hearts. So it's not just about seeking God. It's about seeking him with the whole of your heart. Let me show you a few scriptures quickly so that I can wrap up. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. You know, this hunger, this pursuit of God that I'm talking about was the secret of Moses. But first, I'm trying to tell you that lack of that hunger, just like we just read, that you find him when you seek him with all of your heart, is the reason why Rehoboam. I did the teaching years ago on the secret of the kings, why they failed, why they succeeded. Because I found it interesting, because you had people who failed that you expected they would succeed, and you had people that you thought would fail, like a king called Josiah, who was 80 years old when he became king. You expect him to mess up, you know, but he did well. And so it was interesting to read about them. And the Bible made a note of mentioning certain things about many of them, telling us why they failed and why they succeeded. And that's one of the things we're seeing in 2 Kings. Okay, 2 Chronicles, rather, that I asked you to open chapter 12, verse 14. This is about Rehoboam, who was a king after Solomon. This was the son of Solomon. Look at verse 14. The Bible says he did evil. Why? Because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. So, the doing the evil was not intentional. That's what he's saying. He wasn't intentional about failing. He wasn't intentional about doing evil. But his problem was he was not intentional about seeking after God. Sounds like many believers. They are not intentional enough about seeking after God. And so, evil finds space. Are you there? The secret of Moses was that he was a God chaser. If you get home, read Exodus chapter 33. Moses will speak to God and he will say, if you will not go with me, don't take me there. Anywhere, if your presence will not be there tangibly with us, then we don't want to go. He said, because how will we be distinguished among the people if it's not by your presence? That's what set him apart. And then God spoke and God said, what? Moses, I speak to face. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I mean, personally, my whole walk with God has been defined by my hunger for God. My whole walk has been defined by my hunger for God, or my hunger after God. After getting saved, I mean, I just wanted to know God, and thank God I was exposed to a few people. Exposed to things like the Full Gospel Business Men's Fellowship, and I will hear people speaking about God, and I thought, wow, you mean people can know God this way? I'll hear somebody talking about the fact that he wake up early to pray, so I decided I need to wake up early to pray. Some would talk about praying at the midnight. That one I didn't do much. But the way they would talk about scriptures, a hunger was birthed within me. So as early as 30 plus years ago, I began to read the Bible that way. I will read it. Because I knew that the answer to a rich personal walk with God was in you also reading the book by yourself. I'll realize that there's no way I can pray well if I wait for everybody to wake up before I start trying to pray. So I use my alarm clock to train myself. Now I don't have an alarm clock, but on most days I wake up. I woke up today at 3:30. I haven't traveled, returned to Lagos yesterday, gone to the office, gone to see do several meetings. I got home around 10 p.m. And then I, you know, did a few things around the house. I said, let me rest a little bit. I still want to do a few more things, and I slept off. And about 3:30 I woke up. Why? I've trained my body. Paul said, I put it under. I trained my body to say, hey, this is important. To wake up early and pray is important. So my body is used to it now after about 30 years of training. Oh, there are days that, yes, you'll be so tired and you sleep, no problem. But on most days, if it's about maybe a year or two ago that I decided no more alarms whatsoever, because I was concerned that maybe I wasn't sleeping well, I said, so let my body self-regulate. And I still found wake up about the same time every day. But the reason for waking up is the pursuit of God. Are you there? I said, are you there? In that pursuit of God, I've found my exposure to the manifestations of God to have been increasing from one phase to another. Because of time, I can't tell you all of the stories. You know, from one phase to another, another phase to another. And I can tell the moment when things changed. And I knew that I've stepped into another realm with God. I knew that he has taken me into another realm again. But every single face was driven by a hunger. Every face was driven by hunger. I wanted more. I wanted more. I wanted more. And more kept coming. Are you there? I want to say to you, however, that you must continue. So the way you are, the way you start, the way you do things, you'll have to continue. Go to 2 Chronicles 15. 2 Chronicles 15, and I'll end it there. 2 Chronicles 15.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone at my heart desire. Say you alone, you alone have my strength and cheer. To you alone, to you alone may my spirit yield. You
quickly, 2 Chronicles, stand on your feet, 2 Chronicles 15. 2 Chronicles 15, are you there? Verse 1, it says, now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asher and said to him, hear me, Asher, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you when? While you are with him. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, don't over confuse this with New Testament scripture. It says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. However, there's something to be said for when you deliberately walk with God and fellowship with him, and what happens in your life, and when you also deliberately decide to ignore him, and the benefits that you lose. That's basically what you can transfer from this. Not really entirely according to New Testament doctrine, the fact that he forsakes you, but it's the fact that your experience of him will be deficient if your pursuit of him is not consistent. Are you there? So take a moment again and just talk to God. You alone, you alone, and my strength, my shield, and to you alone, may my spirit yield. You alone, my heart's desire.
years ago that a minister who said, I didn't know, he said that God, the same kind of tangible healing anointing that you've given that man that he was talking about me, he said, God, I want the same thing. I didn't know. In fact, he's not in this country. And the hunger in his heart was so strong. One day God told him, all this I knew later. And he said, God told him, I just received a suit. And God told him, send it to him if you want the same thing. I'm not saying you are sowing anything tonight. I'm just talking about hunger and the power of that hunger. And when he sent it, I didn't even receive it until weeks later. The person he gave it to didn't deliver it. He said, but the moment he sent it, he began to have the same sensation on his hand that I have. He began to experience the same thing. He said he began to get testimonies, all kinds of testimonies of miracles, even through the TV. But he began to experience just the same thing. It's the power of your hunger. That's what I'm driving at. The power of your hunger. So how much more when you are in the room, when you are here and you are praying and you are saying, God, I want that hunger. I sense to pray for people who feel like they need a shift into another phase. They feel that there is a hunger in their heart to press into another phase with God. You've been sensing that God is trying to get you. It's almost like somebody trying to push you into through a door. So I want to do that very quickly. And while that is going on, I want everybody else still praying. I want to finish praying and finish ministry in 5 minutes. So, and you want prayer tonight, I want you to come out. You sense what I'm saying. You sense it the way I'm saying it. You sense that there's something greater, there's something bigger, there's a phase God is about to put you into, and you just want to be prayed with. And tomorrow we'll start having Pastor Adekunle with us. Tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, it's going to be awesome, amazing, powerful. Yeah, his glory is already falling on people, falling and falling strong on people. Falling strong on people. I want the ushers open, sensitive. It's hand is already falling strong on people. I sense it already. I sense it already. I sense it already. I sense it already. Lege doshta, brede sofradishta. Everybody else just praying. Just praying. Praying and minding your own business. Praying and minding your own business. The hand of God. The mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God, the mighty hand of God. Legedoshta, Leveso, Pradishta, Brando, Soko, Paradishta. Yeah, the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God. Let it rest upon you. Let it rest upon you. Let it rest upon you. Now, Leposaka da Bahashta, Brande, Soko, Poste, Veledi. Stop praying and just take it in. Just let it rest on you strong. Yeah, Lord, thank you. Yeah, I just sense that. I just sense that flow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let it get stronger and heavier and heavier and heavier upon her. Let it birth a hunger. A hunger. A hunger. A hunger. A hunger within you. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can sense that. I can sense that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't think. Don't overthink it. Just. Yeah, it's getting stronger and 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 stronger, yeah, and stronger and stronger. Just take it in. Don't be afraid of falling or anything. Just take it all in. Just take it all in. Just take all that God has. Yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Increase that voltage. Let it be overwhelming. Ooh, yeah, let it be overwhelming. Leged Oshta Brahande. Let it be overwhelming. Let it be overwhelming. The dealings of God. The dealings of God. The dealings of God. The dealings of God. Lekre doshta bahane. Lesukala bahasa. Yohan. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The mighty hand of God. Thank you. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. That's it. It's flowing right through. Just take it in. Just take it in. Just take it in. Thank you.
thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for a lifting. Yeah, lifting, lifting, lifting. More grace, more grace, more grace, more grace. Yeah, 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 yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, get stronger and stronger and stronger. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Increase that voltage. Yeah. Increase it, increase it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the push. Thank you for the push. Thank you for the push. Thank you for the push. We are ready to take it. Take it by faith. Just put your hand. Yeah, just close your eyes and take it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Just take it in. Don't pray. Just take it in. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mighty, mighty, mighty. Yeah, that's it. I just felt the flow right there. That's it. Your mighty hand upon her. 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 Legedoshta brandoso felide lede soto faka dese felide senda haste. Yeah, thank you. Oh, never the same again. Never the same again. Never the same again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just take it on. Don't worry about the baby. They will catch you. Don't worry. Don't worry. Just let it flow right through you. Just let it flow right through you and even through him. Yeah, thank you. 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 Yeah, Lebo Koboso Felishka Bahata. Lebo So Felishka Bahata. Begin to give him praise tonight. Begin to thank him 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 tonight. And I encourage you, are there people here tonight that need to make peace with God, or you are online, you need to make peace with God, this is the right time to do so. And that is either you need to be born again, give your life to Christ for the first time, or you need to do that again because you know you've walked away from God. You are what we call backsliding. I just felt God is not done with you. Just close your eyes where you are. Ignore everybody else. Ignore everybody else. God's hand is on you still. God's hand is on you still. Yeah, never the same. Never the same. Never the same. Yeah, never the same. Never the same. Yeah, you are stepping into an encounter with God that will change your life forever. You're never the same. Never the same. Never the same. Lekedoshta brahato sofekedishta. Never the same. Legedosto, Brendoso, Fredishka Bahata. Le Broco Porosto, Fredide, Dede Dosa, Fakada Bahasta. Yeah. Never the same. Never the same. Never the same. The height that God is taking you to, the depth that God is taking you to, never the same. Legedosta, Brandoso, Fredishka Bahata. Le Brosto, Veledi. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes we are in a hurry. We're in a hurry, but God is not done with her. God is not done with her. Not done with her. And so, like I was saying, you need to make peace with God. Do so quickly. Do so quickly. Now is the time of salvation. Do so quickly. So, if you're backsliding or you've never given your life to Christ, but tonight you want to do so, online, on site, put your hand on your chest right where you are. Put your hand on your chest right where you are and let us pray very quickly. I have just a minute left. I have just a minute left. And just say, Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. I come to you tonight. I receive you as my Savior, but also as my Lord. I believe you died for my sins. You rose again for my justification. And I also declare that I live my life for you. Just as you gave yours for me, I give mine for you, even tonight. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for everybody praying that prayer now or later. thank you, Lord, because indeed you saved them. According to the scriptures, Acts chapter 4 declares that there is no other name under heaven by which we may be saved, and all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you for saving every single one who called upon you tonight. In Jesus' name. That book's got hands also still on you. Just close your eyes. It's still dealing with you. Don't be in a hurry. Take it all in. Take it all in. Take it all in. Everything that God has for you, take it all in. Yeah? Take it all in. Take it all in. Somebody say, what does this do? Ask them. It has benefits. Has benefits. Never be the same again. The Bible declares in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says the manifestations of the Spirit are for our profiting. So there's always profit in it. Always. Always profit. Never without profit. When we see the manifestations of the Spirit, they bring us profit. They do us good. God is healing people also. If you came in here, you had an ailment or the other. I think somebody came with something by the side of the neck, some pain, and that's gone. Just move that neck. You'll see that's gone. That's you. Yeah, and that's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Whatever it is, you might have the healing power of God is in the room. Every sickness is caused. Every disease is caused because His power is in the room. God's power is on Sister Tommy there. God's hands on her. Thank you. Just stay behind her there. Don't touch her. Don't touch her. Don't touch her. Yeah, it's God's dealings. It's God's dealings, and it's getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Flows. Yeah. Get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. You should have caught her. That's why you were there.
My heart's desire. Strength.